friends, we are indeed welcome and very happy to know and to cherish our guest today, John Feerick, firstly as a friend and somebody who has made such an illustrious career, I would say starting back in 1963 as the framer of the amendment to the 25th Amendment of the Constitution of the United States, setting forth the succession rules relating to the President and the Vice President of America. And Dean John Feerick, friend, you're very welcome.
Good morning.
Wanted to start, John, on this sad week, sad indeed time for Ukraine, Ukrainians, and the murder, the slaughter, and the greed, you know, being inflicted by Russia on the Ukraine. And we're all pretty devastated, not just those in the Ukraine, but throughout the world. And as Irish, we ought to know a thing or two, you know, about war, about oppression. And of course, you, singularly, will are an icon of, you know, of peace and justice, not only in the U.S. but throughout the world. I'd like to get your own reaction to the week that's in it, the horrific week.
Well, my reaction, it brings me back to 1920, when the Benedictine nuns of Carmore Abbey had to leave their home in Belgium because of World War One, and the impact was very, very severe on the Benedictine communities at that time. And I have to believe impact on all those who live in the Ukraine and their many relatives in the United States feel the devastation that you described, as I do and my family does.
John, again, I'd like to refer to your book, a bestseller, and it is a memoir, for the sure, it's a memoir of Irish roots and American promise. And if you wouldn't mind, just bring us back to the initial thoughts you had about writing this book in the first place, and what prompted you in the middle of an extraordinarily busy, illustrious career to write this book.
Yeah, that took place in terms of its shaping over almost 20-year period. My parents were the motivators for this book. They died, obviously, before I started to write the book. And I wanted to tell their story, and as part of their story, of course, would be stories of their children. So my own story as their oldest child. And as a way to perpetuate for my family and friends the lives of two immigrants to America who whose names are inscribed at Carmore Abbey, thanks to Sister Magdalena and the Benedictine community. So my motivation in the writing of the book was to highlight an immigrant story. And there are many such stories, of course, of other families but I wanted to highlight my own story and the story of my parents.
How, John, for your, and I know it's covered in the book, your earliest awareness of your Irishness, your Catholic upbringing, was that something which, as a child, was ingrained in you? Was it a process, a slow process, to, you know, heighten the significance of being, you know, an Irish American Catholic?
Yeah, from my earliest memory, as a young child, I was exposed to praying at night. My mother at times would pray in Gaelic, and I started first grade in a Catholic school, taught by the Ursuline Sisters, and for the next 19 years, as I became educated, I had constant relationships with sisters, Marist brothers, priests of the Archdiocese of New York, and Jesuits of Fordham University, and instilled in me a love of my faith, a commitment to service, a commitment to those who have no families, and there was never a time that I doubted my faith or there was any alternative presented to me. I just grew up in a home where the faith was practiced by my parents and very much alive.
Let's go to and the principal reason that you're on our program today, of course, you're always welcome, but Kylemore Abbey. And for, I'm sure that those who have visited Ireland or those who are planning to visit Ireland will know that Kylemore Abbey, one of the beauty spots, constantly referred in the top 10 as the beauty spots of Ireland, in the lovely Connemara, an abbey, the portrayal in photographs, it looks indeed very much like a castle, and 1,000 acres of you know, of mountainside, a real west of Ireland visual, a place indeed that has drawn tens of thousands of pilgrims and tourists. You actually, if we go back to, I learned more from you about Connemara. Yes, we knew Connemara. Yes, of course, we knew Kylemore Abbey. But we really, we were more of, even though born next county in Mayo, you know, we went to Kylemore because it was a lovely place, because it was a place without too much attention being paid to the fact that it is an abbey, without much history of, you know, the Benedictine sisters who, you know, fled, you know, fled to Ireland. You brought that to not only my attention, but to a lot of us over here. And, you know, as one of the primary founders of, you know, the U.S. Committee for, you know, support. So that was something that we, somewhere along the line, yeah, we knew there were nuns, we knew there were Benedictine sisters, but it was a great place. It was a beauty spot of Ireland and a place that so many visitors and tourists came, saw, and then left without the knowledge of the struggle that the sisters were going through, and it looked like an affluent place. But you brought it to our attention and to the attention of so many U.S. friends of Kylemore Abbey. What in particular drew your attention to the sisters? You know, we up the road in Mayo, we thought Knock Shrine, that was it. You know, who'd want to go anywhere else? Say that tongue in cheek.
When I was 52 years of age in 1989, my father had just died some months before. I made a visit to Kylemore, not being familiar with Kylemore Abbey, in County Galway, as you noted. And what I found present was a peaceful and tranquil environment with gardens, paths, and trees that made it seem to me a place of God's gift to humanity. It was so beautiful, and when I came home on that first trip, my mother had just died that brought me home. I wanted to inscribe their names somewhere of the many places I visited on that first occasion. And the place that just kept jumping out to me was Kylemore Abbey. And I wrote a letter to Benedictine sister. I think it might have been Mother Magdalena many, many years ago, and asked, is there a way that the names of my parents could be inscribed somewhere in Ireland? And I wanted them their names inscribed at Kylemore if that was possible. And it was possible. And I couldn't think of a place other than Kylemore that so expressed God's beauty and a very spiritual place for me. And the services and the community activity of Benedictine sisters there are very, very inspiring. And just being alone, being able to walk the paths, to go through the gardens, and to experience Kylemore, it has always been, and every trip I make to Ireland, a place that I want to be for a while. And that sort of is what resonated for me. The community of Benedictine nuns who celebrate their services at Kylemore Abbey, and the history of the Abbey, you know, being a residential place back in the 19th century for different families, and then the bombing of the place that in Belgium that the sisters called home during World War I led them in 1920 to go to Kylemore Abbey. It has a history and has a presence that's inspiring, and it has a need right now for a new monastery or a first monastery for the sisters who occupy Kylemore Abbey. And that's why I have to devote whatever time I have left in this world to helping them.
I think that few of us, you know, would know that when the Benedictines, and in their now more than century old history in Ireland, they fended for themselves, which is part of their mission. They did not, as some other, segments of the religious community in Ireland, they really didn't, receive a lot of support for the diocese. You don't have to agree with me, but if anything, they had earned the reputation of being self-sufficient, and that was down to the food that they ate and their charitable works in taking care of the less fortunate. So they didn't come in and throughout the 100 years. They actually, again, had to, because of their mission and lack of support, government or otherwise, they had to somehow exist and did until, you know, only a few decades ago, when with the closing of their school, an all-girls women's school, when that was forced to close because of lack of funding, they spiraled in terms of their own welfare in existing, while of course those of us and the tourists came by and thought this is a place that you know, again, the diocese had, utilized the place since it was such a tourist attraction, in surrounding the abbey, and indeed very little of the funding was returned to the sisters. Many would have thought that, oh, this is a great place, and money and funding should not be an issue. Can you bring us to the point where not only were the sisters unable to maintain the abbey, but in fact had to spread out in, you know, the equivalent of bed and breakfast throughout the area there in order to exist?
Yes, as you mentioned, they live in four different locations. Some have to travel a few miles to come together as a community, which they do in services throughout the day, and the need for support beyond the tourist revenue, which has essentially ended since the pandemic began, became imperative to establish a monastery for the sisters. Would be a first by an order of religious women in 400 years in Ireland, this monastery that's contemplated. And they were well along towards achieving that just before the pandemic, when everything ended, the tourist revenue ended, and construction costs went up. And now they're at a point where the hope is that the pandemic will be ending, and that they can move ahead and build that monastery. And they reached out to people like myself and others in the United States to help in raising funds toward achieving that monastery. And the construction costs have gone to an additional $4 million. They had in place before the pandemic the necessary funds through fundraising and gifts they received through their own work labors in terms of tourist revenue. Sufficient capital, so to speak, to make the monastery happen. But now the costs have gone up by $4 million, and that's their current goal, to try to achieve additional support in the area of €4 million. And we in the United States are putting in a lot of time and helping them by reaching out to others to become familiar with the abbey and their needs and their community. It's absolutely a blessed place.
You know, it is. I know you've mentioned it and brought the word that among the other the strife of the sisters to even exist, that they've never had their own monastery. That's almost incredible. And it not only is it long overdue, but it is a very necessary, a project. Again, groundbreaking had taken place. Everything was going, obviously, with the pandemic, as you point out, everything just came to a halt. The U.S. friends of Kylemore Abbey, again, you as one of the primary founders, what has taken place thus far in terms of, we know that Notre Dame that has indeed, they have not only contributed, but they have an active role in supporting the Kylemore, the sisters at Kylemore. But the establishment of the monastery for the sisters has a special ring to it. It is something that, again, as I say, we think of the Benedictines, we think of their history, and yet they've never had a monastery. Almost, that's hard to swallow, but that's true. Sorry, are you with us? You're still with us?
I didn't hear you at your last sentence. Escaped me.
Yes, I was saying that almost incredible to think that in 100 years the sisters themselves had never had a monastery, and yet we tend to think that that would be something that would have been very necessary had they not chosen in their mission, to service the community and of the great work they've done. So I'd like you to zero in, if you will, on how this monastery would be such a great addition to Kylemore Abbey.
Yes, this is, despite the times we live in right now with the Ukraine and other conflicts, there's a lot of excitement about the future of Kylemore Abbey. Many sisters have arrived from not only Ireland, but from different countries of the world to do the work that goes on at the Abbey. Right now, there are 17 nuns present at the Abbey from countries like India, Philippines, Germany, Africa, Australia, and China. So the future is very bright for Kylemore Abbey. And with the monastery in place, the sisters will be together as a community. And let me also say that on the grounds of the Abbey are local people who take care of the Abbey in terms of the gardens, in terms of all of the acreage that you mentioned, so that there's employment for citizens of Ireland who live near the Abbey as well. And it's a very, very happy time, I think, that there is a sun that's arising tells me that the sisters will have their monastery and they will have a very continued bright future in Ireland. But at this time, the effort is to try to raise, help them raise 4 million euros. And I would just point out that it's also a beautiful place for memorials of loved ones. And I look forward to participating with many others to achieve that dream for the sisters. And perhaps I could just mention this April in New York, the sisters will be honoring two wonderful Irish Americans, Michael Dowling of the North Wales Hospital System, and Loretta Glucksman of the American Irish Funds, with their special Spirit of Carmel Awards. And we're looking for a very successful event because of the quality of the two people I mentioned and their friends.
Yeah, well, since you didn't mention it, I will. You are also being honored, indeed, as Dean Emeritus and Professor of Fordham Law School, and all of the wonderful work that you've done. And, indeed, Ann Anderson, the former Irish ambassador to the United States, she will be the presenter for the evening. It is going to be, it's going to be terrific, a tremendous and well-deserved lineup of honorees, Loretta, as you mentioned, Mike Dowling, and yourself. And the date is April 20th, and it's an evening hosted by Friends of Kylemore Abbey, and we know that a lot of, again, we think of Kylemore Abbey as a place of great beauty, which it is, and but it is, in recent years anyway, it has been struggling, and this is an opportunity to get the project underway, and I feel that a lot of people who may not know that much about the spirituality, the heritage, and that they and the pilgrims who, in addition to taking in the beauty spots of Ireland, particularly in Connemara, this is something that should pique interest, and we hope that you know, our listeners and indeed the community at large will get on board. And again, American Ireland Irish American Partnership is the organization through which donations can be made. But there is one person in particular that we should also acknowledge. And Mary Reed, indeed, has been the mover and shaker all along the way. And she, again, is somebody that, indeed, will, you know, where we can get the information. It's April 20th, and it is the website and the contact information, friends, is... you can go directly to Kylemore Abbey and U.S. Friends of Kylemore Abbey, and that's a good place to go. And again, I want to thank you not only for your interest in the sisters, the Benedictine sisters in Kylemore Abbey, but also your determination in... you know, in making the significance of this not only well known, but again, we need a lot of people who do not know too much about it to come on board. And I want to thank you, John, and then as the Pied Piper, the leader of the pack. Congratulations to you, and obviously to Mike Dowling and Loretta Brennan-Glucksman. The date is April 20th, and friends, we are delighted to have as our guest John Feerick. Thank you, John.
Thank you very much, and thank you for honoring the Benedictine Sisters of Kylemore today. I'm heartfelt gratitude to you.
Thanks again. Okay, and friends, you are listening to Irish Radio Network, USA, irishradio.com, worldwide. And, okay, we're going to hook up with Kevin O'Connor now to bring us news and sports from Ireland. But in the meantime, another...